Welcome to Welton Go Live Sunday. We're really pleased that this morning we've got our friend Andy Street from Bristol speaking to us. Wherever you're at with God this morning, we pray that you'll get closer.
Good morning and welcome to week two of our series Changing Times. This week we're thinking a bit about serving. Now, the Welton at Home team have had a really busy week, and it's been so lovely to hear these various messages from different people coming back saying thanks for the gift parcels that have been going out. We're really excited about this, and we want to say thanks to Joe, Debbie and the whole team for everything that they're doing. And there's also this lovely vision that's developing. It's not about having a list of people who are in need and a list of people who can give. We completely recognise that at different times we'll have different needs, and we can also all give something as well. So it's really all about being family together. Now, Matt's asked me to give a quick reminder to say, please could you send in your hello video clips. They're meant to be 4 seconds long, and it's not a 4 second hello. It's 4 seconds of hello from Matt, Joe, Holly, Hattie, Will and Dillis. 4 seconds. It'd be a really lovely way of actually just saying hello to each other if we can pull it off. So please get your clips to him as soon as possible. Now, this week, I've been reading through the Book of Lamentations, and being really honest, it feels like the first time I've looked at it for quite a while. You'll have probably heard different people talking about the need to lament in difficult times. The theologian N.T. Wright is one person that I know of encouraging this. For me, it's a fairly unfamiliar word, and I don't readily think about lamenting. The dictionary says that a lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. I found it really interesting where Lamentations fits with the prophecies of Isaiah we've been looking at recently. Isaiah assumes the destruction of Jerusalem, and he's looking forward to the return of God's people from captivity in Babylon. For the majority of us, I think it's probably hard to imagine quite what being taken captive and exiled is like. Those of you that know me a bit won't be too shocked. Lamentations has actually brought a few tears to my eyes. It describes really graphically what it was like to live through Jerusalem being destroyed. Kings, princes, prophets, everyday people all being killed. Mothers starving and having to make just horrendous decisions about what to do with their children. There's no United Nations to step in and help them. They're trapped and starving inside the city, or they can go out of the city and be killed by the sword. A whole system of life and worship is being brought to an end. It's a remarkable insight into what it was like to be in a truly hopeless situation. But right in the middle of the book, deliberately right in the middle there, there's these verses which you might know. They're Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 to 25. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. What an incredible thing to be able to say in the middle of complete turmoil. I've asked Hattie and Will if they could lead into worship this morning with a song that's taken from that verse. However you're feeling today, before we move into worship, we can sing this as a statement of the character of God. I've asked them to leave a small gap afterwards just to really fix it in our minds how faithful God is, even in the difficult times. Let's pray together. Lord, as we come together to worship you, we recognise that our lives, our health, our mental well-being are going to be in a whole variety of places. We thank you so much for the good we see in so many people, people who are made in your image. We pray for your continued strength for those working tirelessly to care for the sick and the most vulnerable. Where there's signs of hope, Lord, we pray that you will bring more. We think of those who at this time could be feeling hopeless. even in these moments when it doesn't feel like it. Thank you that you are truly faithful. Amen.
Hi there. I'm aware that probably a good number of you are wondering, who is this guy? I think perhaps I ought to introduce myself before I start. So my name's Andy Street, and I live with my wife Marion in LA. That's Long Ashton, the one near Bristol. Originally from London, but we've been in Bristol for nearly 40 years now. Originally trained as a civil engineer, and started an environmental consultancy about 25 years ago or so. Well, I actually now work part-time. For the last 13 or 14 years, I've gradually backed away from work and got more and more involved in charity, social enterprise and social investment work. I now actually work only a day and a half a week. You probably think, oh, what's he do with the rest of his time? Well, the rest of that is focusing on City of Bristol, seeking to support the church to engage more strategically in the life of the city. I'm also, interestingly, one of your advice elders, and it's been a real joy over the last year or two to get to know your elders and to meet up with them from time to time, and also to get to know the two Matts pretty well. And I have to say, they're an amazing blessing, and I think you probably know that already. So I was supposed to be with you in Welton today, and here I am on Zoom. Strange times indeed. And it's fair to say that life is very different at the moment. It's really tough out there. Lives are being lost. People are fighting for survival. The economy being ripped apart, and huge and growing social need. Life as normal seems an awful long time ago. And alongside that, we seem to have developed a new vocabulary: lockdown, social distancing, self-isolating, herd immunity, flattening the curve. A month ago, we never used phrases like that, but now they're in everyday use. And church life is also very different. We can't meet other than on Zoom, and many of the usual midweek activities can't happen. Mission and serving look very different these days. You know, the Bible has much to say about the call to serve, both each other, but also the community in which we live. And let me share just, as we start, three short readings from the New Testament, if I may. Firstly, from Romans. Romans 12, Paul says this: love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Sure, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Another verse is in chapter in Philippians. Philippians 2 says this: therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort means is love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value each other above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And again, a few verses in 1 Peter 4. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And of course, I guess I could have chosen a good number of other verses too. But these are changing times. What's our response as church when serving looks different? When we can't run the community cafe, we can't operate the food bank in the way we've always done, when we can't visit the lonely or the unwell and sit down for a chat over a cup of tea. There's also the risk, of course, that we can become overwhelmed by all that we see. We can be fearful, worried about the now and the future, whatever that future might be. Nikki Gumbel from HDB recently said this: choose faith over fear. The storm is raging, but Jesus is in the boat. He's right where you are. You know, it's so important to remember that truth. So where do we start in seeking to serve at a time such as this? And you know, I think a good start is to sense what's on God's heart. Scripture clearly tells us that God's heart is for the vulnerable, the weak, the downtrodden, those that are elderly and at risk, those that are lonely, those struggling with mental health issues, those facing financial ruin, children at risk perhaps in the pressure cooker of lockdown, those going hungry through lack of finance. God's heart breaks for them. We sing that well-known song, I See the King of Glory, with the line, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." And you know, that's a good place to start when we're wanting to know how to serve. Lord, what breaks your heart at this time? In Bristol over recent years as a church, we sought to reach out to the city across all of the various sectors and seek to contribute to key areas of social need. And I guess there's a good sense of unity across the churches in the city, a great relationship with the business, charitable and civic sectors. Many of you will know that we have a Christian mayor at the moment, Marvin Rees. In fact, it should have been the mayoral election in early May this year, but that's now been delayed for a year because of the crisis. And when Marvin became mayor nearly 4 years ago, he gathered together a small number of church leaders and invited the Holy Spirit into the city. It was an amazing moment, committing himself to serving the city to build Bristol as a city of hope. And as church, we noted what his key priorities were, and we've invested time and resources in seeking to serve alongside the city over that period. The focus has been on feeding the hungry, caring for the vulnerable children in the city, supporting the homeless, helping those in debt, addressing issues of loneliness and isolation, but doing this at a citywide strategic level. And I guess in many ways, we've been seeking to put into practice that well-known phrase in Jeremiah chapter 29, seeking the welfare of the city. Key themes over that time have been periods of prayer and intercession, building relationships across the city, working in collaboration and partnership, being salt and light, and building that sense of hope. But things have changed dramatically in the last month or so. That was then, and this is now. And over the last 4 weeks, we've been asking Marvin again what he sees now as the critical needs at this time. Over the last 4 or 5 weeks, on a Thursday, we've convened a group of up to 40 church leaders on Zoom to share those key needs and to encourage church to engage and support at a citywide level. And through those gatherings, three key priorities have emerged. Firstly, food supply to support increasing numbers of people who are financially vulnerable and who need support. And it's been remarkable to see the city come together and the church to play a key role in providing a really resilient response to that increasing need. Secondly, the need to find replacement emergency foster carers for up to 85 children, currently with foster carers who are aged 65 plus, and many of them having to socially isolate. And those children are so vulnerable. And again, the response has been amazing. Through Home for Good, working in partnership with them, already nearly 50 couples have come forward to be considered to go through fast-track training to become emergency foster care. It's a remarkable response from the church again. And again, thirdly, reaching out to support those that are lonely and isolated in lots of different ways. This coming Thursday, Marvin will join the church leader Zoom call himself. He'll share what's on his heart. We'll do a Q&A and hopefully then we'll pray for him too. You know, if we're learning anything from the current crisis, and I actually think we're learning a lot of profound lessons, to be honest, it's how dependent we are on one another. We're made for community. We're made for relationship. People that we would never before have labelled as key workers are now recognised as such. Doctors, nurses, cleaners, carers, bus drivers, checkout assistants, shell stackers, cooks. They now are heroes. Many are on low or minimum wages or on 0 hours contracts. But we now realize to be totally indispensable for the good operation of society. In 1 Corinthians, Paul uses the picture of a body to remind us that God is especially concerned that honour be given to those members of the body we might think less honourable. So let's honour all of those serving in society at the moment, often in desperately difficult situations. Let's honour them, but also pray for them. And that in itself is a form of serving. Alongside that, there's a vital need at the moment to look out for those that are isolated and lonely, perhaps through age, medical condition, or simply in lockdown alone. That could be of any age. Mental well-being is under huge pressure at the moment. And there are various new ways in which we can all serve. And I'm sure you're already doing that, either in your own street or community, or indeed in a coordinated way as a church. Perhaps providing a listening ear. Perhaps looking out for the lonely or isolated neighbour, doing food shopping or other errands, going to the pharmacy, dog walking, simply phoning or contacting or WhatsApp, Zoom or some other way of just being in touch. And all of those might seem very minor, but they can be incredibly important for each and every individual that you or I think of. You may have come across a new website called yourneighbour.org, set up about a month or two ago, connecting individuals to their local church for support. There's about 1,000 churches across the country now signed up, and simply through phoning a national helpline, individuals looking for support can be connected to their local church. Take a look at it. It's absolutely brilliant. Mother Teresa said this: not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. We know that's so true, particularly at the moment. None of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. You know, these are tough times. Some of you may have family members or friends that have been impacted by the virus, and some may have died as a result. It's tragic. Remember that quote from Nikki Gumbel that I shared earlier: the storm is raging, but Jesus is in the boat. We're not alone. And as we seek to serve individually or corporately in these very difficult times, we have an opportunity as a church to shine. When the world is in its darkest hour, it's time for the church to shine brightest. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this: you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let me finish with a short section from an amazing piece that was written a day or two ago by a good friend of mine who pastors a small Baptist church in Stockwood, South Bristol. His name's Lance. Let me read you a bit from his little blog. It's a few paragraphs, but it's worth listening to, and you'll be encouraged by it. In Stockwood, we have around 4,500 homes and 10,000 people. As the storm clouds gathered, I called a COBRA meeting, and no, I have no idea what COBRA stands for either. Of all the key agencies in Stockwood: healthcare, care homes, older people's residences, co-op, pharmacies, schools, children's centre, city council, etc. So that before lockdown, we could meet face to face just the once and sketch out some outline plans for the community. I soon realised that our small church of 60 or so members, many of whom are in the 70 plus bracket, and many other younger ones who had to self-isolate for one reason or another, would not be able to serve all of the 10,000 residents on our own. So should we just give up at this point? I had a growing concern for all those in the community who were not online. I wondered how all those people in the community who wanted to volunteer would be coordinated and assigned safely and effectively. So I then convened a group of 5 movers and shapers. We're now a team of 7 who would oversee the response of the whole community. We meet as often as we need on Zoom. Who had ever heard of this a month ago? We quickly set up a local helpline. We have a super team of volunteers who are helping with all sorts of things, not least befriending any who are isolated and lonely. I keep in regular touch with the health centre, care homes, co-op, pharmacies, schools, etc. I'm confident that the post office has good arrangements for getting pension monies out to people. We've won 2 substantial funding bids that will allow us, with a scheme that we have jointly developed with our local co-op, to help those who have just run out of money. And since the manager of the local food bank is part of our core team, we have been able to offer support and counsel there too. We've even found ourselves advising and supporting many others in the south of Bristol as they set up their own community response. Let's hear it for Stockwood. The head teacher, who's not a believer of one of our local schools, said to me last summer that the church is at the heart of the local school. My passion is for the church to be at the heart of the local community. I was deeply challenged a few years ago at my Forge training course by this question: would the community miss the church if it ceased to exist? At that point, hand on heart, I think I would have had to say no. But in this little part of the world known as Stockwood, the opposite is now true. The church and the community are now so closely intertwined that I would struggle to separate us. The church walks with the community through all the ups and downs, in the joys and in the sorrows. I realise that this approach is so totally different from what most churches have been doing. Some, if not all of you, will be asking, so what? Well, it has been a real joy to see several of those in our core team joining us and enjoying our Sunday morning services. I have even asked for them all to pray for one of our church members, a paramedic, who has been in intensive care with COVID-19 for over 3 weeks now. They have seen me at my best and my worst. Together, we're experiencing the kingdom of God, and it's such a blessing. When this is all over, and how many times have we all heard that little phrase, this too will pass. The church will continue to walk with the community, and the blessing will go on. I think that's just brilliant. In fact, I just find that quite moving, even just to read it, and such an encouragement to us all. Let me leave you with one verse, if I may, and I'd love to pray it over you, if that's okay. It's been a challenging, and it is a challenging and tough time, but one thing we can hang on to is hope. And Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this. It's an amazing verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me pray that over you again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless you all. Many thanks for allowing me to zoom in to your service this morning. And hopefully next time, if there is a next time, I'll be with you in person. But I look forward to seeing you then. In the meantime, go well and take care. God bless.
We're just so grateful to have Andy on board as one of our advice elders at Welton. He is a big thinker and he gets behind people all over the world. And he has this huge heart for sharing the kingdom of God. As a leadership team at Welton, we're asking God, what's next? Not in an arrogant way, but we want to be ready, confident that God has a plan and purpose for his church. We've heard some great examples this morning of what God is doing. Let's keep our hearts open, knowing that he is faithful. Let's finish by praying those words from Lamentations one more time. Lord, we thank you that your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us. Have a good week. We'll catch up soon. God bless.